Welcome to the Sonic Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Simonelli, CEO and founder of Veritonic. I founded Veritonic so that we could finally understand and quantify the power of audio. And if you're listening to this, you're probably already a strong believer. And if not, hopefully you're becoming one. In this episode, I'm in conversation with three exceptional guests, each one with a unique past that got them to where they are today. All are believers in the absolute scope, potential, and opportunity that the audio space holds. They're not only some of the biggest champions of growth in audio, but they're also putting their money where their mouth is by investing in the future of audio. I welcome Alan Patrickoff of Greycroft, Caitlin Strandberg of Lair Hippo Ventures, and Dan Borak of Newark Venture Partners. Welcome to the Sonic Truth Podcast. Alan, welcome to the Sonic Truth Podcast. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Alan, for those of us who don't know you or for people who haven't been following venture capital for a long time, give us a little bit on your background and who you are.
You have the next hour. I've been in the venture capital business since 1970. I've had, in effect, three careers. The first one was when I started my own firm in 1970 called Alan Patrickoff Associates, which morphed into a firm called Apex, which is Alan Patrickoff Associates International. We renamed the company as we went abroad, and we got bigger and bigger and bigger, and starting out with a $2.5 million fund, if you can believe it. By 2006, we were up to 30 or 40 billion. I think they're now up to 60 billion. And I decided I wanted to go back in the venture business. And because we had really become a private equity firm. And so I started a new firm called Greycroft Partners. And Greycroft is designed and hopefully will continue to be a venture capital style investment company. And we've built that up now from a $75 million fund to over $2 billion. And last year, I had a eureka moment and realized that the baby boomer generation, which is will be the fastest growing part of the population in the next 20 years and the largest segment of the population with the most money, was a great opportunity for investment. So I left Greycroft behind and started a new firm called Primetime Partners with a woman named Abby Levy as my partner, who had a very similar vision. And we've been in business for a year, focusing on products, services, experiences, technologies, media for the ageless society, as I like to call them. People over the age of, late 50s, 60, who have all kinds of needs and opportunities to spend their money in the next 10, 20 years.
Let's focus on one aspect of that, since our focus on this podcast is about audio and audio marketing and audio advertising. One of those chapters may be in there, somewhere in those three big parts, are some investments in the area of audio and podcasting and voice. And so when did you start looking at that space? Was it something that came through media investments? Did it evolve over time?
You really might say I started 30, 40 years ago when I invested in the first voice response company, a company called Paraphonics. But that was a one-off investment. And in the 90s, I invested in the startup of Audible. So those were two things I really focused on, voice. And I also was involved in the first cellular companies that got formed in the 1980s. But in recent ventures, which is what you're referring to, as part of my activities at Greycroft before I started Primetime, I got intrigued with a company called Wondery, which was in the content area of podcasting. And I met with Hernan Lopez, who was running it, and was intrigued by what they were doing, since I know content pretty well. And so I started New York Magazine, and I started Huffington Post and a whole bunch of other media properties. I've been kind of related to the media investing world for many, many years. I got intrigued with this new concept of how to disseminate content. And I remember the trigger moment was that I was walking down the street and I bumped into David Carey, who was then the publisher of Hearst magazines. And he was walking down with earpods, all consumed, and he told me he was, you know, listening to some podcast. And I said, "Gee, David Carey is listening to podcasts walking down Madison Avenue. This thing is really, you know, about to happen." And so I invested in Wondery, which has done very, very well. We sold it out earlier this year to Amazon, not because I pressured the sale. I was very happy relationship, but it was an unsolicited approach, and the CEO saw the opportunities for growing faster with Amazon. But in the interim, I've invested in 6 or 7 other companies which are dealing with various aspects of more than just podcasting. I would say audio and voice is a much broader way of thinking of this.
So there's been a lot of buzz lately, so much buzz that you almost feel like you have to, I feel obligated to ask this question of you, you know, and I'm still not sure about it, but there's been a lot of buzz around social applications here. Green Room on Spotify, Clubhouse, Twitter Spaces. There's a lot of people kind of bringing social audio to the table. Is this something that's on your radar from an investment standpoint? I know that the Clubhouse has got a huge valuation, and there's been a lot of venture capital interest there. Yeah, where do you think this fits into the puzzle?
Clubhouse is synchronous. Racket is the same as Clubhouse, except it's asynchronous. And I think that asynchronous has a better long-range possibility, because I think it's very hard for people to, you know, be regimented, as we found out on television. I mean, they want the flexibility of streaming whatever they want. So I think that the quality is going to improve. I think that the sound effects, one of the great things about Wondery, why they were successful, is they captured the entire audio experience with music and sound effects and everything else to give you a real feeling of you are there.
I'm sure we're going to get some other investors and investor community, venture capitalists, when they see your name on the podcast, they'll probably tune in, even though we're focused more on marketers.
They must listen to this podcast, and they're all at the same restaurant trying to listen. And so, like, and it felt very Wondery to me. So I'll kind of back up. So as I mentioned, I work at Larry Hippo. We're early stage investors. We do both, you know, consumer and enterprise. We're 50-50 consumer enterprise, and we're based in New York, but we invest all over. One thing kind of unique about us is we are able to invest in kind of anything. And we have made a number of investments in like the media content space, and that's because of the DNA of our founders. So the founders of the fund. So usually every fund, it's about 10% of our portfolio. So, you know, Ken Lair was a co-founder of Huffington Post. Eric Hippo was the CEO of Ziff Davis and CEO of Huffington Post after he was also a venture investor at SoftBank for a long time. And then you have Ben Lair, who is founder of Thrillist, that later evolved into Group 9, which owns the Dodo, now this, Pop Sugar, all of that, which is now actually merging with Vox, I think, as we speak. So you know, media content is really in our DNA. And so whenever we've seen investments in the space, we've been able to evaluate them and get pretty excited, one of which is Wondery, which sold to Amazon, which is one of the largest podcast publishers in the country. And they create these immersive podcasts, which is like Dirty John, Business Wars, Dr. Death. So like the Dirty John overlap, true crime overlap with Only Murders in the Building was like too much for me to handle. I was so delighted by the show. I was like, it was my type of humor. But we've also made a number of investments in other companies. So we're investors in Sonoro, which is like an audio podcast network that's focused on Latin America. You can kind of think of it as like a Spanish language Wondery. We're investors in a company called Meet Cute, which is short form rom-coms kind of targeted towards Gen Z. So these 15 minute and under rom-coms, you can think of it like a next generation Hallmark channel. So kind of bridging that in. And then we're in a couple of kind of the B2B side. So we're in Hi-Fi, which is financial management for artists. We're in Splice, which is a cloud platform for music creation collaboration. And then we're investors in Veritonic, which is my favorite audio intelligence company. So, and Veritonic is an interesting one because, like I said before, we do both consumer and enterprise. And this is kind of one where we were able to see both sides of the market. So, you know, while you're kind of doing the audio, the measurement, audio intelligence, we've invested in a number of big brands and companies that have marketed using audio. So companies like Allbirds, Casper, Warby Parker, you know, it becomes a core part of building out their strategy. And so we kind of saw the need that that our companies had with what you were kind of providing.
Where do you see the space as it relates to audio
kind of going over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, which I know is a tough question, but maybe your early read.
We can think about it in like two ways, right? So we can do just literally consumer and enterprise. And I tend to think that consumer drives enterprise. So on the consumer side, I think, you know, audio and music has long been the laggard in technology innovation. Like, I don't have to tell you the difference between like when Hulu came to market versus when Spotify really came to market and was winging. Like, it's always just been slow. And so, you know, we have the benefit of having some of these like larger media companies like the Netflix, the Amazon Primes of the world, like all of that coming first and then really creating best in class user experiences with personalization and discoverability and connecting online, both through audio, but also through content. So when you think of companies like Reddit, which is really a first mover, and, you know, people are able to find communities in ways that they haven't before. And this is something that post COVID or as COVID shifts to what life will be, there's a real desire to connect with those people. And so communities will be created and consumers will look for that. And whenever there's that type of opportunity and that type of behavior for advertisers and marketers, those can be very valuable pools to pull from and target. In every other part of a business's kind of like KPIs and analytics, you can see where that dollar goes and you can see if there's a return on investment. And you can also get very smart on how you spend and how you market. And I think that we don't have that in audio. We haven't really had that until Veritonic, for example. And it's becoming more necessary now, especially with the pressure of like the Facebooks and Instagrams of the world and Apple with the iOS change, where companies need to diversify their marketing, but they also need to put their dollars to work in a way that they know they're going to work. Like CAC metrics and return on ad spend is not going away. We just need to have to figure out how you do it without Facebook and iOS. And so there's a wide open range of how you do that.
That's a great way to kind of close it too. I think ultimately it's the expectations are going to rise, right? The expectations of the enterprise, right? The advertisers, the expectations of the end users are going to drive that. And the expectations of how it's quantified and how it's measured, right? It's not the just let's take a flyer on this anymore. And that happened in other markets like online advertising, for example. I'm sure it happened back in other things that are long ago, like TV and things like that. So yeah, I think it's an exciting time. We're you know, obviously full disclosure, hosting this podcast and being at Veritonic, we're so excited to feel that excitement and movement because that drives innovation and it drives a lot of enthusiasm and it drives great TV and entertainment and great podcasts as well. So thank you again, Caitlin, for coming. This has been really fun. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us today.
Of course.
Dan, welcome to the Sonic Truth podcast. Excited to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Scott. I'm really excited to talk audio with you.
All right, me as well. So tell us a little bit about you and kind of how you got here today and maybe a little background on Newark Venture Partners as well.
Yeah, sure. I think I'll start kind of with the arc of my career, which might be too much information, but it is informative in terms of how I think about, you know, digital media investing, you know, ad investing and audio specifically. And I started out my career in the late 90s in a series of operating roles at digital ad companies. Right? So my first job out of college was at J. Walter Thompson in their digital group, internet advertising group called Digital at JWT. I then went on to DoubleClick. And finally, I ended up at Google in 2002. And, you know, the thread there is they're really all, you know, ad tech companies, or at least they have a big part of the business that's ad focused. So even at Google, right, which you wouldn't think of as maybe an ad tech company, I was on the ad operations side of the business. And so that was my, you know, particular purview of what was going on there. And that's where I started out my career. And when I was at Google, I kind of got the bug around venture investing. I thought it'd be super cool to be on the other side of the table, which is instead of being an operator at a startup, you know, to actually be the investor in the startup and maybe help multiple startups, you know, scale. So that's what I did. I went to business school, which is a good thing to do if you want to kind of career pivot. And I came out of business school and ended up at a multi-stage venture firm for the next 10 years. And at that firm, I did a lot of investing in B2B software, including things in the ad tech space, which we can get into. And that actually brought me to 2016 when I left my previous firm, Millennium Technology Value Partners. And what I wanted to do then was start a firm that solved the problem that I saw in the space for B2B software companies at the seed stage, which is, you know, and you think back to like 2017, you know, it's a little bit of a different environment now. I felt like, especially on the East Coast, there just weren't a lot of seed firms that were focused on solving the repeatable problems that B2B software companies run into, which is how do you get your first customers? And maybe more importantly, how do you get feedback from folks that look like customers, like insights into whether your product actually has a product market fit, whether it's solving a problem. And also, how do you go to market? You know, and going to market, as you know, for B2B software companies, you know, how do you build a marketing plan? What's your sales strategy? How are you going to execute on that sales strategy? So me and my partners started Newark Venture Partners with the idea that we were going to be as helpful as we could be to B2B software companies by offering, you know, customer intros and building out a go-to-market team to help companies execute. So that all brings us to today. You know, we're Newark Venture Partners, B2B software focused with a thematic approach to investing. And so we always have roadmaps that we're really going deep on that will inform how we think about investing. We're investing out of our second fund, $85 million fund, which is 2x size of our first fund. And you know, we're really excited about the market opportunity that we see today.
You're in B2B SaaS, right? So there's a few more content focused ones in there. You also have Podsites and some others. Yeah, how do you know when that stuff is right?
We've made these software investments in Veritonic and in Podsites, which does podcast ad attribution, and Sounder FM, which is the podcast hosting platform. And so that makes a lot of sense from a thesis perspective.
Right.
But as we got closer to audio, I personally believe that there was just going to be more users, you know, listening and more dollars from advertisers, you know, willing to spend in the market once some of the challenges around monetization sort of were cracked. We started to look at content plays though, that took more of a platform approach, if you will. Mm-hmm. So maybe not trying to invest in like, you know, just a great team that's producing like a cool podcast, you know, which is honestly a lot of the stuff that's gotten picked up by and licensed by like Spotify is sort of that. But we wanted to find companies that took kind of like a B2B to C approach and kind of took a platform approach, which just means that they were thoughtful in how they could replicate successful content, right? And there was some technology in the underpinning. And so MeetCute is a fiction-focused podcast platform that has kind of a decentralized approach to finding great content. They have a really interesting data-driven process to figure out what is going to be interesting. And then they partner with, you know, distributors to get the content out there, right? And so that's the B2B. And then to the C part is like, are people can consume it or not? But it's not as hit-driven. And that's what we tried to avoid. ABF Creative is the same thing. It's focused on a multicultural audience where there's been a dearth of content, I believe, in the audio space and probably, you know, in the media space in general, and using a platform approach. And in fact, I know that, you know, Veritonic, I know you guys are partnered with Anthony at ABF to use data more effectively to sort of select content that's going to work downstream. So that was us just wrapping our full audio thesis to make sure that, I guess, we weren't missing a big part of the market, which is going to be the content. If you're looking at digital media, you know, content is going to have big outcomes if it becomes a big market.
If someone were coming in and pitching MVP and they're like, okay, I've got an audio company or I've got something I think is a great idea. And I think this totally fits. I just heard Dan on the Sonic Truth podcast. These guys should invest in my company. What advice would you give them?
I mean, I'd say that like some of the things that I see happening in the audio space that I don't think have been fully solved yet, which create opportunities for entrepreneurs around like discovery. So this isn't answering your question specifically, because that would be more like, you know, there's other things that go on with pitching, but like discovery is a big unsolved problem in audio. And that's something that like, whenever I talk to somebody, whether they're like a really big company or whether they're a startup, there's so much new content being created every day. And there's so many people doing it and there's no good way to discover what's going on. Right. And you don't have like, you know, you just don't have that central search engine like you had in the early days of the internet, and it makes discovery really challenging. So that's a really interesting area. So if somebody has a discovery company or somebody who's trying to solve that, I'd love to hear from them. That would be really interesting from a pitch perspective. And then like we talked about around monetization, you know, just the need to solve for what has been a, you know, non-dynamic ad environment and shifting over to something that's like dynamic ad insertion, that's more standardized. Like that's an interesting area.